I have the joy of being one of the pastors here at New Covenant, and it is Easter morning, in case you weren't aware. It's Easter morning. It's also, did you know this? We had an interesting confluence this year. Easter morning with April Fool's Day. Anyone else pick up on that? I wanted to call the sermon this morning, He's Risen, No Fooling, but that didn't really fit with the passage, so I called it He's Risen, No Fearing. Has anyone ever had an experience where someone just like totally smoked them for April Fool's? Like, just gotcha. Like, you were totally owned by this April Fool's joke. Well, I had one of those about 6 years ago. 6 years ago, my wife and I didn't really realize it was April the 1st that day, and we checked our mail, and in the mail, there was these official-looking envelopes, and inside those official-looking envelopes were something that looked like this. It was a speeding ticket. I have a copy up here from the city of Cedar Rapids, and it was for violating the speed limit out here at the entrance. We used to have a speed sign. I don't know if you knew this. If you haven't been here a long time, there used to be a sign that said 10 miles per hour. Incidentally, no one ever drove that way. There may have been one person. Yeah, one person. You all know who I'm talking about. I'm going to get to him in a second. Yeah. He drove that way. If you were ever lucky enough to be behind him, you know the frustration of someone who has legalistic tendencies. Just kidding. But we get these in the mail, and I'm just confused. I was totally confused by this. It's like, how did they know I was speeding? I didn't even see the camera out there. What is happening, you know? And it says 28 miles per hour. It's like, it looks like it's exact. You know, if you, vehicle speed, 28. The fine, $75. I'm like, why do we have to do this? This is dumb. How many people are, you know, I was thinking, how many other people are getting these today? Like, are all of you going to get one of these today? And then everybody's going to be upset because they're having to pay these stinking speeding tickets from the city of Cedar Rapids, right? Well, my wife, we got two of these. I got one for my car. She got one for her car. So I was confused. She was angry. She's really level, and when she's angry, you can't even tell. But she was upset, and so she gets on the phone, because there's a phone number on here for somebody. She gets on the phone and calls the phone number. Well, the one who did this, the guy, he's our high school pastor, Mark Forstrom. He put Mark Eads' cell phone number as the contact. So Rebecca calls up that number, it gets Mark Eads, and they had it worked out in about 30 seconds. You know, they figured out this was an April Fool's joke. But have you ever had something like that, where someone just totally got you on April Fool's? Like, made you feel afraid inside, like, oh no, what's going on? Like, are we, you know, we have various situations. And that's how we were. We were honestly afraid that morning. Afraid that we were going to have to pay this fine, afraid, you know, that other people were going to have to pay this fine, afraid of, like, what the fallout was going to be. We were concerned. And fear causes us to act in certain ways, doesn't it? It causes us to react in certain ways to our world and our environment. You know, what fear did for us in that, it caused anxiety for us. It caused a little bit of anger, a little bit of angst for us. But we live in a world, I would say we live in a world that in many ways is maybe more awash with fear than any other time in the history of the world, just because of the information that we have at our fingertips. You know, you just read the headlines, and it makes you afraid. I was listening to the radio the other day, and they said that the stock market was coming back up because the fears, now I haven't followed this closely, but the fears of a trade war with China were subsiding, and so the Dow Jones Industrial was headed back up after it had sank a good amount within the last couple weeks. We live in a world awash with fear. Whether it's financial fear, well, you know, there's talk in town, there's a big merger. I don't know if you heard, like Rockwell Collins, if you work there, you're well aware of this. There's all these things going on in our world, and they make us afraid. Whether it's at work, whether it's finances, whether it's at home, whether it's our health, whether it's we're afraid of terrorism. If you go to the airport, you know how afraid we are of terrorism, right? And rightly so. We've been the victims of terrorism in this country. And so we take precautions against that ever happening again. And that's what fear does to us. Fear changes the way we act, and it changes the way we react. And it builds walls. We build walls in response to fear. Metaphorical walls to keep things out, to protect us, to keep the bad things away and keep us safe. And we go on the defensive when we're afraid. We kind of We develop a posture with our arms closed rather than our arms open. We let fear suck our joy out of us. My wife and I, we'll have things that we're afraid of, things that we're concerned about, things that we're anxious about. You know another thing fear does? It robs you of your time. Because you spend so much time thinking about that thing that you fear. And you talk about it, and you talk about it, and you talk about it. And it robs you of your time. And so this morning, we're going to open up God's Word together. And we are going to look at the resurrection of Jesus in Matthew 28. So if you have your Bibles, you want to turn with me to Matthew 28, chapter 28, verse 1. We're going to look at that passage of Scripture. And we're going to meet some people who were dealing with fear. They were dealing with fear, and rightly so. Jesus had been crucified on 36 hours approximately beforehand. On Friday, he had died on the cross. They'd taken his body, and they had laid it in a tomb. And if you put yourselves in the place of the disciples, you just got to be thinking. They were afraid. They were probably a lot of things. They were probably sad. But one of the things they had to be was afraid. And the women who'd followed him, if they did this to Jesus, what are they going to do to us? Where's it going to stop? Are we going to be on the cross next? What's going to happen to us? And so we're going to meet some people who were dealing with fear. And here's the thing. Fear is a natural response, and it's a good thing. Like, God made our bodies for, like, fight or flight, and there's a healthy fear. But fear as a lifestyle is awfully exhausting. When we develop fear as a lifestyle, it sucks our joy. And so we're going to look at God's Word together this morning. Matthew 28, verses 1 to 10. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And here's the first mention of our word. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. Verse 5. But the angel said to the women, look at what he said. Here's our second mention. Do not be afraid. For I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See how I have told you. I'm just going to stop there for a second. I don't know why he says, see how I have told you. It's always confusing me. I kind of wonder if there was like a party or something going on in heaven, and this angel had drawn the short end of the stick, and he had to come tell these ladies and make the announcement. He wanted to get back to where he was going. And so this was like his final, see, I've told you, and I'm out. I don't know. I don't know why he says that. That's not necessary for the message at all. It's just a question I have. So if anyone has a good answer, you can talk to me after the service. Verse 8. So they departed quickly from the tomb. Listen to this. With fear. Look what it says. And great joy. And great joy. And ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. We're going to look at this problem of fear this morning. We're going to look at it a little bit more deeply in our text. We're going to look at how the resurrection of Jesus interacts with our fears, or can interact with our fears if we're a follower of his. And then I'm going to have just a few things to take away this morning. So the first thing I want to say is this, and we all know this is an intuitive truth. Things that are beyond our control or understanding are those things that make us afraid. Things that are beyond our control or understanding make us afraid. I was a freshman in college when 9/11 happened. And we saw our whole country, like there was good responses, but one of our responses was fear. Right? There was this thing that had happened in our country, and it was beyond our control, and frankly, in many ways, beyond our understanding. Right? And then we're thinking, can this happen again? We weren't in control then, or when, and could it happen again? And it causes fear. And that fear, we start to build walls, and we start to play defense, and we start to behave and react in different ways when things beyond our control or understanding come into our lives. And so we meet the guards, and look at the guards. Now I love the guards, because the guards, I got to think, you know, we don't know exactly what was going on, but if I was a guard back then, you know, you could have the duty of like going and like guarding a dangerous trade route, or you could have the duty of doing something else that was dangerous, or you could get this, the duty of, hey, you want to go guard this dead guy for like a couple days? Like, there's a massive rock. His disciples, they are pretty pathetic when it comes to fighting. This should be like a plush assignment, right? So they show up at the tomb, and they're just hanging out. They're expecting nothing out of the normal, because in their experience, everybody who they have seen crucified and who is dead, they stay in that tomb. They don't come out. And then all of a sudden, look what happens. The ground starts to shake. And they see this lightning bolt. And they see the stone is rolled away. And this stuff is beyond their experience. It's beyond anything they've ever thought. And their response is just to be terrified. And they curl up in a ball. I mean, it doesn't say they curl up in a ball. It says, for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. They're laying on the ground. Because there was something in their life that was so beyond their control and beyond their experience that their only reaction was to just go in the fetal position. And fear can do that to us. And then we meet the ladies. You have two ladies, and they loved Jesus. They wanted to show up at the tomb. They didn't know how they were going to get in the tomb. They wanted to anoint his body. They wanted to do one last thing for him, to show him how much they loved him. One last act of love. And so they show up that Sunday morning early, just hoping somehow that they could get into the tomb. And they're seeing the exact same thing that the guards are seeing. They're feeling the earth shaking. And they see this white thing come down and roll away the stone. And it doesn't say that they're afraid, but look what the angel says. He says to them, don't be afraid. Everybody who meets angels is always afraid. It's just like something true. If you ever meet an angel, you're not going to be happy. You're going to be afraid. Because they are amazing, immense beings, and they will scare the socks off of you. And so he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Because this is beyond them. It's beyond their experience. It's beyond their control. So my question for you this morning is, what makes you afraid? What made you afraid this week? In the last week, in the last 168 hours, I got to believe there was something that made you afraid. What I want you to do, we're going to take 10 seconds, and I want you to turn to someone who is next to you. And it can be a big thing, like a big, like, hey, the world, like, altering thing. It could be a small thing, you know, like, I was afraid my car was going to break down. Or, you know, that's not a really small thing. Or I was afraid how people were going to see me. I want you to turn to someone who's next to you, and I want you to tell each other in 10 seconds something that made you afraid in the last week. Ready, go. All right, that's time. I might have given you a little extra. Everybody said something, huh? Everybody had something that made you at least a little bit afraid in the last week. Isn't that funny? Because things beyond our control make us afraid. Here's the thing, though, that we see here. Jesus' actual resurrection from the dead brought joy to his followers, even in the midst of their fear. Jesus' resurrection from the dead brought joy to his followers, even in the midst of fear. So, verse 8, we see this. It says, so they departed quickly from the tomb. This is the women. After the angel, we don't know what happened to him, but he may be there, maybe he left. But it says, with fear. So the fear isn't gone. But then it says, and great joy. And great joy. So somehow, these ladies have experienced all this stuff, and they're still afraid. But even in the midst of their fear, they have the ability to experience great joy, even as they are the fear is there. They don't know if anything bad's going to happen to them. But in the midst of that fear, they're able to have great joy. And I think there's something there for us this morning. And I was actually thinking about this. I wanted to come up here and say that they immediately became bold, and they immediately were like sharing their faith, but that's not what happened. They go back and tell the disciples, right? So Jesus' resurrection gave them joy, but it's not till 40 days later on the day of Pentecost when they receive the Holy Spirit that they have supernatural boldness. So there's two things that come together to give them boldness. There is the resurrection of Jesus, and then there is the Holy Spirit's enablement. And those two things come together, and they give them great boldness. We see that in the book of Acts. But they don't have that right now. All they have here, it says, is they have great joy. So the question for me is why? Why did Jesus' resurrection bring them great joy, even in the midst of their fear? And how could Jesus' resurrection maybe then bring us great joy even in the midst of our fears? I don't know all the answers to that. We're not told in the text exactly why they had great joy. It has to do with the resurrection. It has to do with that news. Perhaps it's the fact that they loved Jesus, and then now they know that he is risen from the dead. Perhaps it's the fact that they remembered that he had predicted that he was going to come back from the grave, and they're seeing this, and that gives them great joy. For me, I think there's at least a couple things that are true here. It's because they understood, and we understand, that if Jesus could come back from the dead, that is a power that is beyond our experience. That is a force, that is something that is bigger than anything we've ever met before. If he's overcome death, if he can lift a weight that none of us can lift, that is great news. I had a friend in high school. I played football, and me and this guy, we started out lifting together, and when we first started out, we were about in seventh grade, and we lifted together, and I think I hit puberty a little bit before he did, because I was lifting way heavier than he was in seventh grade, okay? But by the time we got to 12th grade, he was an absolute animal. Like, the most I ever squatted in my life was 450 pounds. I don't recommend it, and I wouldn't touch it today. But that was a long time ago, and that was a lot. That's a lot. It's a lot of weight. But Ben, he would throw up 650 pounds. When he would get under the squat bar would just be like this, over his back, and I would be behind him like spotting him. I'm like, oh my goodness, I hope this thing doesn't fall. I'm gonna die. Right? He was handling a weight that I couldn't touch. And he would just go down and up with it. And if I tried to get under that bar, I would be crushed. Right? This is the same thing Jesus does for us. There is a weight that none of us can lift on our own. There is something that will crush us underneath of it every time, and it is death. And Jesus' resurrection proved something. It proved that he's able to get under that bar. And he took it down, and he took it back up. And that's the kind of power that he has. And that's the kind of power that we can have joy in. That though we can't lift that on our own, he lifted it for us. And one day, he will lift it for us again. When we die, we have incredible hope. He's going to resurrect our bodies with that same power. So I think maybe they had joy in that. I think maybe they had joy in one other thing, because my friend Ben was on my team. It doesn't really make you feel that good if there's a guy who squats 650 and he's on the other side. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to have to bump heads with that guy. You're going to have to run into that guy. That guy's going to come out and try to block you. But the cross on Friday proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that power, the resurrection power on Sunday morning, is for us. It's on our side. And I think maybe the women understood that. I don't know exactly what they understood. But when I think about it, those two things, those give me joy in the resurrection. They give me joy. So why did they have joy in the resurrection? You know, perhaps it's because they understood or they were gaining an understanding of what was going on. Perhaps they were just caught up in the moment. Perhaps we don't know exactly. But I offer those two things to you. Because Jesus' resurrection proves his power. if he can come back from the dead, he has power over anything. And if he died on the cross for you, he is on your side. So that brings me to a question, because what I've said and what we see in the text is that Jesus' resurrection brought and brings joy for his followers. For his followers. So we have a lot of people here today, probably friends and family, and we're so glad you're with us. Maybe you don't normally come to church, though. Maybe you just came because that's kind of what we do on Easter. And I want to talk to you for just a second. Because this for his followers piece, you can become one of his followers today. So the reaction of the guards, I think, is the normal, natural reaction we have to fear. It's just to like ball up. But these women had joy in the midst of their fear. And I would invite you, you can become one of his followers this morning. See, he died on the cross for your sins. He rose again from the grave. And he wants a relationship with you. And so I would just offer that if you're here and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you can do that simply by understanding that you're a sinner, by understanding that he died for your sin and rose again from the grave, and all you have to do is believe in him. So I would offer that to you this morning if you've never done that. Man, we would be so excited if you wanted to take that step this morning. When I did that, I just prayed a little prayer. It was like, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know you died on the cross for my sin. I believe you rose again from the dead. Will you please save me? It was nothing fancy. And the prayer doesn't save you. It's just the faith that is expressed in that prayer is what saves you. So I would ask you this morning, if you're not one of his followers, you can have joy in the midst of the most fearful circumstances if he's holding your hand. So where does that leave us? Where does that leave us? Because we're going to have this week, we're going to read stuff on the news cycle. We're going to have stuff on our social media. We're going to be afraid again this week. Whatever it is that made you afraid last week, more than likely, it might make you afraid this week. You know, we're afraid of funny things. Like there's different, I don't know if you knew this, but there's different news outlets that cater to different political parties. You guys know this? And people who watch one news outlet, you know, I think are terrified of people who watch the other one or the other set of ones. And people on this side, they're kind of scared of those. Like, if that was what you're afraid of this week, you'll be afraid of it. Or last week, you'll be afraid of it this week. If you're afraid of financial stuff last week, you're going to be afraid of financial stuff this week. If you were afraid of job insecurity, relational problems, whatever you were afraid of last week, more than likely you will be afraid of in the coming week. So we're going to be afraid. But here's what I want us to do. Look to Jesus' resurrection. When fear starts to take hold of your heart, when fear starts to take hold of your heart, you can look at the empty tomb. You can look at the empty tomb and you can know that the power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that God has today, and he is for you. So no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're afraid of, that resurrection power, if death couldn't keep Jesus, it wasn't strong enough to keep Jesus, whatever is making you afraid and worried today can vanish in the empty tomb as well. So look to Jesus' resurrection. Remember Jesus' resurrection when fear starts to take your heart this week. There's tremendous hope in that. Tremendous hope. It's interesting. You know, there's people, they say, well, Jesus wasn't really resurrected. Well, you know, I wasn't there. To be honest, I wasn't there. But there's people who wrote stuff down. And they went to their deaths believing this was true. And in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, he said he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, then to the 12, the other disciples, and then at one time he appeared to more than 500 people at one time. I was reading something this week, and they said, well, you know, we think this, you know, dead people don't come back to life, so what actually happened was Peter had some hallucinations, he was really emotional, he felt really guilt-ridden, and so he had some hallucinations, and that's where Christianity started from. I say, well, that's a nice theory. But if you take that, you take what Paul says here seriously, then not only did Peter have to have a hallucination, but then the 12 had to have a hallucination. And then 500 at the same time had to have a hallucination. So there's good, in other words, I just want to say there's good historical reasons to believe that the resurrection isn't just a nice story, but it's an actual physical, literal fact. And so when we get afraid, it's not that we're putting our faith in just a story that someone made up and wrote that it should make us feel good, but we're putting our faith in an actual physical fact, something that literally happened. The grave was actually empty. The grave clothes were actually folded, laid there. These women actually saw Jesus' body. They actually touched his feet. They actually were physically present with him because his physical body was actually alive. So when fear takes you, it's not that you're just looking at a nice story in a book. It's, this actually happened. He literally rose. And so you literally have this kind of power available to you this week. And the craziest part to me, the nail in the coffin for me, so to speak, is the fact that Jesus' disciples, they totally changed everything about their lives. They gave up everything they had. They went to their deaths. They loved people. They changed, they set off a revolution that changed the world from 12 small, 12 guys and a small group to what we have today. And we haven't always been perfect as Christians, that's for sure. But these guys were so convinced, so convicted that this was really a thing because they'd seen Jesus, that they gave everything to follow this. So this morning, I just invite you again, if you've never trusted Jesus, would you trust him this morning? He literally rose from the dead. He literally died on the cross on Friday to pay for your sins, so that you could spend eternity with him, so that you could have joy in the middle of the fears of life. So would you trust him this morning if you never have? And if you're here this morning and you're just wrestling with fear, whatever it is, you're concerned about something, you're anxious, and fear is sucking the joy out of you, it is taking your time, it is taking your energy, it is all you think about, and you're a follower of Jesus, I just say to you, man, look to the resurrection. The resurrection says that we can have joy even in the middle of our fears because of who is on our side. We can have joy even in the middle of the greatest fears of life because we know that he, the risen one, is on our side. So I'd invite you, when you get home, I didn't provide pieces of paper for you or anything, but this is a copy of the speeding ticket that I got from Pastor Mark. Thank you very much. This is what I think of it. But I invite you to write your fears. Write your fear on a piece of paper or something when you get home. And you know what the resurrection means? You can take that fear and you can throw it right in the trash. And you know what's interesting about a trash can? A trash can looks a lot like an empty tomb. A trash can looks a lot like an empty tomb. Not that Jesus' empty tomb is a trash can, but you can take that fear and you can throw it in the metaphorical empty tomb of your trash can and know that your Savior can do anything. And so you can have great joy, even in the middle of your fears. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you for the truth that we find in your word. Lord, that Jesus' resurrection should give us great joy. Lord, even in the most fearful of circumstances, Lord, we can be people of joy. I pray that that would leak out of us this week, Lord, that would permeate everything that we do, that people would see the joy that we have, Lord, because of your resurrection, your sacrifice for us. Lord, may it transform our hearts, may it transform the way we think and the way we interact with others. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.